Have you ever tried to understand something really complicated and just ended up like totally lost?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like I tried to learn more about the economy recently and like read all these articles, but it just made me more confused.
It happens.
So that's kind of why we do this deep dive to like break down complex stuff. Today it's this like mountain of sociology stuff. It looks like a midterm exam from Sociology 101.
Interesting.
We've got enemy and the sociological perspective, plus a bunch of theories about how society works.
It's going to be fascinating.
Okay, so first up, an enemy. What is it and why should we care?
So imagine like all the rules you live by just vanish. The
Whoa!
norms, the expectations, poof, gone.
That sounds kind of scary.
It can be. It's like this feeling of being completely lost.
Disoriented.
Exactly. Like when you were a kid and your
Yeah.
school suddenly changed the rules for recess.
Oh,
You're like,
yeah.
wait, what?
Total chaos.
Anime, but on a bigger scale.
Okay, I.
Think about the Great Depression.
Right.
The economy tanks. Millions lose their jobs. Society structures crumble.
Wow, that's
People didn't
messy.
know how to act, what to believe.
Yeah.
It was massive uncertainty and disconnect.
So enemy isn't just like a personal feeling.
Right.
It's when society itself is kind of freaking out.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
helps us see how social forces
Okay.
impact our lives,
Yeah.
even on an individual level.
So that brings us to the sociological perspective.
Right.
It's about looking beyond ourselves,
Yeah.
right? Not just, I messed up that job interview, but like, what else is going on?
Exactly. A sociologist might ask,
Okay.
what are the company's hiring practices?
Great.
Are there biases or economic factors at play?
Like hidden obstacles.
It's about how those larger forces
I still
influence what happens to us.
like realizing there's more to the story than what's on the surface.
Like a puppet show with all these strings being pulled.
Yeah, who's controlling things?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's about seeing the world as interconnected.
Okay, this is already blowing my mind.
It's just the beginning.
So, how do we actually apply this perspective?
Good question. There are different frameworks,
Frameworks.
theories sociologists use to make sense of the world.
Like different tools for the job.
Exactly. One is called structural functionalism.
Structural functionalism.
It sees society as a system
A system.
with interconnected parts working together for stability.
Like a well-oiled machine.
Exactly. You have institutions
Okay.
like family education, government, the economy, all playing vital roles to keep society running.
So education is like the engine.
You could say that it fuels the next generation with
Right.
knowledge skills and also social norms and values.
So everything has a function.
Even things that seem negative at first.
Wait, even crime.
From this perspective,
Yeah.
even crime can reinforce norms
Ow.
by showing what's unacceptable.
Oh, I see.
And it can lead to change
Chained.
by challenging laws or highlighting inequalities.
That's a pretty interesting way to look at it.
Right.
But doesn't this theory kind of ignore conflict?
That's one limitation. It focuses on harmony.
I see.
But not everyone benefits equally from the structure.
Right.
That's where another perspective comes in.
Right.
Karl Marx's social conflict theory.
Marx, the original rebel.
He was all about power struggles.
Okay, so not playing nice.
Not exactly. He believes societies are
Ugh.
shaped by economic forces,
Okay.
and history is a story of class struggle.
So more like a tug of war than a well-oiled machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He saw conflict between the bourgeoisie,
Bourgeoisie.
the owners of the means of production,
Okay.
and the proletariat, the working class.
Right.
He argued that capitalism is inherently exploitive.
Exploitative.
The bourgeoisie profits from the proletariat's labor.
So like those factory owners getting rich while the workers struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the labor strikes of the Industrial Revolution,
Wow.
workers were fed up with terrible conditions and low wages.
So these theories highlight different things. One is all about order and the other about power.
Exactly. And there are even more lenses we can use.
More
So we'll dive
lenses.
into those after a quick break. So we were talking about different ways to look at society.
Right, like structural functionalism and
Yeah, and social conflict theory.
one's about order, the other about power struggles.
And power isn't always about force or control.
Oh, there are sneakier ways to influence people.
Absolutely. It can be subtle, shaping our beliefs.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
It's called cultural hegemony.
Cultural hegemony. Sounds kind of scary.
Not like sci-fi mind control,
Okay, good.
but it's about dominant ideas in society
Ideas that everyone accepts.
as common sense or just the way things are.
Like the American dream.
Exactly. Work hard and you can achieve anything.
Right, that's what we're always told.
But It ignores systemic barriers.
So we think we're making choices, but we're actually influenced by these ideas
that benefit the people already in power.
It's like a hidden system of control.
Exactly. It makes the powerful seem legitimate.
Wow, this is deep.
It's about understanding the layers of society.
So what other forces are shaping us?
There's this drive for efficiency and control.
Like everything has to be optimized.
Exactly. It's called the rationalization of society.
Okay, so logic and data rule everything.
Think about bureaucracies and technology.
Right, like ordering pizza with three clicks.
Exactly. It's convenient, but also a little creepy.
All that data they have on us.
It's the double-edged sword of rationalization.
We gain efficiency, but lose spontaneity.
And maybe some human connection.
So we've gone from big structures to hidden forces.
It's all connected.
But how do these forces play out in our daily lives?
That's where dramaturgical analysis comes in.
Dramaturgical analysis, like we're all actors.
In a way, yes. Goffman said social life is a performance.
We play different roles.
Exactly. We present different versions of ourselves.
Depending on the situation.
And the audience. It's called impression management.
So I act differently with friends than at work.
Exactly. Your backstage and front stage self.
Like I'm putting on a show.
To create the desired impression.
Like in a job interview.
You wouldn't show up in sweatpants.
Definitely not.
It's about performing the expected role.
So much of our interactions are scripted.
Even if we don't realize it.
But what if those roles become too much?
That's role strain.
Like being pulled in different directions.
By the demands of a single role.
I felt that as a student.
Juggling classes, work, and everything.
It was overwhelming.
Or think about working parents.
So much pressure.
And then there's emotional labor.
Like flight attendants always being cheerful.
It's managing feelings to meet job demands.
That sounds exhausting.
It can take a toll on mental health.
So we're expected to feel certain ways.
Society has feeling rules.
Unwritten rules about emotions.
Like you can't cry in a work meeting.
Even if you feel like it.
It limits our authenticity.
Right. And this connects to gender roles too.
Absolutely. Gender shapes our experiences.
Which brings us to feminism.
Feminism challenges those roles and expectations.
It's about equality for all genders.
Dismantling patriarchal systems.
Fighting harmful stereotypes.
It's about a more equitable society for everyone.
So how do sociologists actually study all this?
They use different approaches.
Approaches.
Some are more scientific, like surveys and experiments.
Like those climate change surveys.
Exactly. To gather data and test hypotheses.
But others are more interpretive, right?
They focus on understanding people's experiences.
Through interviews and observations.
Like studying how immigrants adapt to a new culture.
It's about the why behind the what.
And both approaches are valuable.
But there are challenges too, right?
Like the Hawthorne effect.
When being observed changes your behavior.
Exactly. It shows the power of observation.
And then there are the Milgram experiments.
Those were pretty controversial.
Shocking people for wrong answers.
To see how far they'd obey authority.
The results were disturbing.
It shows our susceptibility to authority.
Even when it goes against our morals.
It raises ethical questions about power.
And the potential for abuse.
We're not always as rational as we think.
This deep dive has been mind-blowing.
It's about seeing the world differently.
So what's the biggest takeaway?
Cultivate that sociological imagination.
See beyond individual experiences.
And recognize the broader social forces at play.
It's like taking off blinders.
And seeing the connections.
And it can be empowering.
We can challenge those limiting forces.
And work towards a better society.
Keep that sociological lens in mind.
What patterns have you noticed in your own life?
The answers might surprise you.
And maybe you'll explore sociology further.
There's always more to learn.
That's a wrap for this deep dive.
Until next time, keep those imaginations firing.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about studying society.
Yeah.
And we keep bumping into these ethical questions.
Yeah, like the Milgram experiments.
It makes you think about responsibility.
Absolutely. Understanding behavior isn't just data.
Right.
It's about the implications of what we find.
And sometimes those discoveries are unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah, they challenge our assumptions about human nature.
But that's what makes sociology so fascinating.
It's not just theories and definitions.
Right.
It's about analyzing the world, asking tough questions.
Using those tools to think critically.
about the forces that shape our lives.
It's all about that sociological imagination.
Seeing beyond our own experiences.
And recognizing the bigger picture.
That's what we've been doing this whole time.
Right. We started with the basics.
Anime, the sociological perspective.
Then we explored different ways to understand society.
Like structural functionalism focusing on order.
And social conflict theory, all about power struggles.
Or you talked about cultural hegemony.
Those subtle ways our beliefs are shaped.
And we didn't shy away from the tough stuff.
Like emotional labor and those hidden costs.
And the Milgram experiments and obedience to authority.
It's a lot to process, but it's all connected.
Each concept helps us understand
the complexities of human behavior.
And the intricate web of social life.
So what's the message we want to leave with?
Embrace that sociological imagination.
Keep asking questions. Stay curious.
Don't just accept things at face value.
Look for those underlying patterns.
The social forces that are always at work.
It's like we've given you new glasses.
See the world with.
And once you put them on.
You can't unsee it.
You see those connections everywhere.
Between your life and the bigger picture.
You question assumptions and challenge norms.
And that's the power of sociology.
It's not just about understanding the world.
It's about imagining a better one.
A more just and equitable society.
So keep asking those questions.
Keep challenging assumptions.
Keep that sociological imagination going.
You might even be inspired to make a difference.
To create positive change in your own way.
That's a great place to wrap up.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time, keep those imaginations firing.